Hello and welcome to Owning It, the podcast that celebrates the inspiring choices made by women who refuse to simply follow the crowd and chose the road less traveled. I'm your host, Sandhya Tukaram, and in each episode, we'll have real conversations with these incredible women who choose to carve their own path because following just isn't an option. They may not be making headlines, but every one of them is a role model. So join me and let's explore the power of choice and the inspiration it brings right here on Owning It. Rajni Shivram's journey hasn't been a typical one, and it hasn't been without trying to conform to what was expected. But through these expected choices, she discovered her own path. As she walked the path of her choice, it wasn't necessarily a bed of roses, but she learned to say no and tweak her choices, always owning it. Rajni, hi. Thanks for joining me in conversation on Owning It. I know some things about you, but I was saving getting to know you for this conversation. And I'm looking forward to discovering your journey as we speak. I want to start, Rajni, perhaps where you are right now.
Thank you so much, Sandhya, for inviting me on this podcast of yours. It means a lot that, you know, you are giving people an opportunity to speak about their journey. So it's interesting that you asked me where I am right now. I'm pretty sure the answer would have been very different if you'd asked me this, say, in 2015 and 2016. I was very enthusiastic about a lot of things. I still am, but I'm saying that the path I've taken right now, or what I'm choosing to do right now, I mean, has significantly changed or altered over time. Because I think in 2016, while I was with the Chronic Blues Circus, I was with them for about 3 years. I think I gigged so much. I performed so much. I mean, I barely had time to do anything else. I was more a performing musician than anything else at that point. But it did take a toll on me as far as my health was concerned, because I think it's not for everybody. I mean, doing back-to-back shows, 3 shows a week and so on and so forth, it's not something everybody can do. I'm sure some people are great at it. I discovered that I wasn't able to keep up with that sort of lifestyle, you know, waking up at, say, 1 in the afternoon, 2 in the afternoon, going for jams. I mean, just grabbing a quick bite, going for jams at around 5, 6, and then coming back home at, say, 2 in the morning or something like that, post jams. And I couldn't do much. I was performing, yes, and people took notice and all of that. But health-wise, I was deteriorating and I felt like I was stagnating. I just came back after completing my master's in 2015 and I jumped right into this music bandwagon for various reasons. Because it was something that I thought I'd never given a chance in my life. Music has always been present, but you know how the Indian education system works. I mean, right now it's very different. You know, I see kids, you know, taking off to Berkeley and music colleges and taking music very, very seriously. But I don't think I had that sort of a privilege growing up.
We're going to go back to 2015, but I want to come back to where you are now and then we'll do a flashback.
So right now I'm in the space where I'm very selective about the kind of shows that I want to do, because it has to be well paid. And with the current band that I'm in, with Midnight Poppies, we are releasing another album, which is in the works at the moment. And I'm also writing my own stuff. The shows that we do make a difference to me, not just financially, but these are shows that with Midnight Poppies, we've curated our own shows because we realized that the entire music industry and the system around us is inefficient. So started curating our own shows, right from understanding what the theme of the show is going to be, to marketing the show, to putting out the ticket links, to inviting people, to getting the venue.
So you produce your own shows?
Yes.
Rajni, let's go back before we come to 2015. Okay, today, just to kind of summarize what you've said, you're at a point where you curate your own shows with your band. You're very clear about what you won't do. You've gone past just doing anything. You've gone past fatigue and you reached a point where you said, hey, I need to value myself and I want to be able to focus on what I put out. And that's a conscious decision. But let's
go rewind now before all of this happened. And before we land in 2015, let's go to Rajni. I always go back to when Rajni was 10 or when Sandhya was 10, but because I'm talking to you now. Tell me about what Rajni's aspirations were at 10.
I think you would have met a very, very different person. Someone who was extremely shy, wouldn't seem like that to the outside world because my mom used to constantly keep putting me in these competitions and getting me to sing in front of other people, and I would hate it. I never thought that I would end up being a musician at all because I was facing a lot of issues with my voice because my voice would crack, and I would ask my teacher, why is this happening? And nobody would be able to give me the right answer for it. And it became very annoying for me, frustrating to sing in front of other people because I was a very, very shy child. I would do it because my mom asked me to do it and be like, oh, you won a prize and all of that. But none of that really mattered to me. You know, I didn't want to sing in front of anyone. I didn't want to perform in front of anyone. I didn't want to do any of that. I knew I enjoyed singing. I wasn't one of those people that wanted to sing for other people.
You enjoyed singing, but you didn't enjoy performing.
And the fact that I don't come from a musical family, my parents weren't aware they could take me. And my mom's way of, you know, getting me seen or known was to take me to these smaller, you know, competitions in the Indian Carnatic scene. Because my mom put me into these group classes, into these group Indian Carnatic classes. So I think I never thought I would ever take up music. I wanted to. I was drawn more to history. I was drawn more to journalism and things like that. I should have picked that up, but I did. In fact, I got a very, very nice seat in one of those in Mounds or something, but I just gave it up to become an engineer because I wanted to prove to my parents that I could do it. Eventually, I realized by the end of it, it didn't give me as much happiness. Back then, I don't think there were as many opportunities, even if you did take up music. Nobody was there to give you some sort of a roadmap saying, okay, you know, these are the possibilities. And I think I came from a family where people were like, okay, now what are you going to do? Music is all fine, but what about your job? How are you going to sustain yourself?
So hold that thought. So when we went back and met Rajni at 10, she was a gifted singer. She enjoyed singing. She was shy, but hated performing. And your parents' way of supporting your talent was to get you to perform in smaller gatherings. And then you went through a phase of conforming while your heart may have drawn you to history or literature. You went the expected way and did your engineering. And you said BITS Palani?
Yeah, BIT Master.
And so what happened then? What happened when you've got your engineering degree? You've kind of told your family that you could do it. What happened? Did the next few years also continue with you conforming in a sense?
The biggest breakthrough for me was when I got into BITS. There was a mind shift that happened when I moved to BITS because I saw people, you know, who were my juniors, I mean, who were doing their engineering, start their own companies when they were in their first year of engineering and second year. I just liked the kind of bent of mind they brought in, you know, because they were also a part of a big institution, but they weren't willing to conform. That really helped me or motivated me to break free and give music a chance. I don't think this panned out the way it did, if not for this. I think I have a lot to credit that institution because I would never have met people who wanted to not just find a job, but who wanted to pursue what they wanted to do.
So that's really interesting, right? So in kind of conforming, you learned to break free and kind of follow your heart at that point. So that's actually quite an interesting...
It is, because I feel also, because where I did my engineering, it was in Bangalore, I chose an institution which was closer towards my place just for ease of travel, which is not probably what I should have done. but when I went on to a bigger institution, I saw that sort of mind shift change, you know, and people coming in, people getting their degree, but at the end of the day, choosing what they wanted to be or become. And that for me was huge. That learning was huge for me. when I saw people, especially my juniors, do that. They've started their own companies, and some of them even abroad, not just in India. And it's a huge achievement, right? Because, I mean, you're talking about people who've come from these smaller towns and villages, maybe even cities, but they're dreaming big. And when you see people do that, it kindles that spark in you to want to do something. And I wondered why I never gave music a shot, a true shot.
So tell me about when you started giving music a shot. So Bits Pilani kind of suddenly opened up your world, and you decided there was something about singing that you wanted to pursue. Tell me about the next few years from that point.
So as soon as I came back, I think it was very clear that I didn't want to move abroad for a PhD because I had some financial constraints, but more importantly, my dad wasn't doing too well and I wanted to be in India because me pursuing my PhD would have only meant me going abroad. So I came, I joined a music school. Once I finished this brief stint at this music school, I joined the Chronic Blues Circus, which is one of the pioneer blues bands of India. And I was with them for 3 years. So I wouldn't say I made reckless decisions, but it was very clear when I joined the Chronic Blues Circus that I didn't join for money. I wanted to experience what it was like to be in a band, to experience, you know, how to work as a team. Musically, you progress so much more when you're in a band as opposed to just doing music by yourself. How do you play? How do you adapt? And these kind of things are better learned when you perform with a band, right? So I went down that route for about 3 years. And it was great learning for me because that was a time when I told you that I used to perform a lot. But it took a toll on my health and I had to sort of step back. In the beginning, it was exciting, but towards the end, it got very exhausting. And when I quit Chronic Blues Circus, I sort of had a roadmap. I then thought I would probably get back into corporate for a bit, make some money, and see how I can dabble with music and the corporate world side by side. But that also didn't work out for me very, very well because I couldn't dedicate enough time to music. Because I'd be very, very tired by the end of the week and I just want to sleep. I didn't want to do any music. So I think I've pretty much seen what it's like to be on one end of the performing spectrum where you're performing all the time and where it's somewhere in the middle where you're trying to strike the middle ground and see if you can dabble in the corporate world and in music and find time. And finally, I quit in 2019. So that's when I got back to studying music. I got back to performing. I got back to teaching a little bit. So I think I somehow found my balance in this world.
Yeah, because part of also making choices is to navigate, to learn and land somewhere. It doesn't mean just because you say, okay, engineering is not for me, singing is for me. It's an overnight success. It all happens smoothly, because I think that's an important message to get through also, because one of the things I like to highlight when we talk about owning it is, yes, that is about making choices, but it doesn't mean just because you've made the choice, there are no challenges to it. It's the difference is these are your challenges based on the choices you've made. And that's a shift. So we reach a point where Rajni is done balancing two worlds. You're willing to throw your weight behind one. You want to make that shift where you're able to not only pursue what you enjoy, but doing it on your own terms and doing it where you can enjoy it versus struggling through it.
I like what you just told me right now, because with each of the choices that I've made, it's not like I went into it knowing that these are going to be the challenges that I'm going to face. It's always been, I chose, let's say, path A, and I go on that road for a bit and I figure out, okay, these are the challenges. Now, am I willing to, you know, stay on this road or should I make a shift? Or how do I find that balance? I think that's always been the game for me. It's not always been clear. Like I said, when I jumped into music in 2015, by the end of it, I didn't know where I was going to land. I didn't know how life is going to pan out, but I took the leap. That's all it was.
Yeah, it's about taking a leap of faith, right? Making a choice doesn't come with guarantees.
Yeah.
But at least you've started on the journey on your own terms, in a sense.
Yep.
I want to talk about Rajni. Midnight Poppies is your band, right?
It's a band that I sing for. It's a band that was started by my guitarist. Her name is Sangeeta. So at the core, we are three of us: myself, Sangeeta on guitars and vocals, and Adrian on guitars.
So where is the next 5 years, or do you not plan that much in advance? Where does Rajni want to be in 5 years?
I think the focus has sort of shifted for me to make my own music and to put out original music more than just performing, because I've seen enough of performing. And while I don't want it to stop, but I don't want to be one of those people, because being in the creative field, it's very important to be creative. I mean, otherwise you're taking away from it, which is nice. I mean, there's nothing wrong in singing or performing other people's songs, you know, famous, popular songs. But at the end of the day, what are you, you know, bringing to the table? So I think a lot of my time I devote these days to writing, and I've already published a small poetry book also. So it's more of an attempt to put myself out there, and creatively, because I feel like I'm letting myself down if I'm just going to be this person that just does cover gigs all the time.
Has it become easier to say no to things you don't want to do? Or are there times you're still kind of tempted to do it all?
I would say I'm not the kind of person that finds it difficult to say no to things that I don't want to do. Because for me, it's about time investment. And I take my time very seriously. So if I feel like somebody is offering me something which is undermining my value in some way, or which is not guaranteeing me a certain thing, I wouldn't take it up. I want to take shows that make me happy. I want to do things that make a difference to my life first.
Are there compromises in focusing on happiness? I mean, I think it's what all of us should strive for. However, in the world that we've constructed, making choices also means there's a certain compromise. Do you think there's a compromise you've made?
I think you will have to make those trade-offs. I mean,
so what are those trade-offs?
Those trade-offs could be the fact that maybe the fact that I don't earn as much as, let's say, a person in the corporate world does. I don't make those big numbers. And sometimes those trade-offs could be that there are certain shows that you might have to do just to put yourself out there for people to know that you exist. If I want things to go my way, I wouldn't pick up any show that comes my way.
Finding that balance of staying true to who you are, but also doing a little bit of what's necessary and that allows you to be who you are.
At least putting yourself out there, because the name of the game right now is that you need to put yourself out there for people to see that you're there. Otherwise, people forget. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Would you do anything differently if you went back about a few years, maybe 2015, if knowing what you know now?
Not so much 2015, but I think I feel like my life should have taken a different course altogether if I'd made those right choices at the right moments, like not picking up science and just moving towards music or the arts side of it, because that would have helped me. I would have discovered myself a lot earlier. I wouldn't say this was a waste. You know, I would have gained those many years.
So if at all there's any regret, it's about this could have been sooner.
This could have been sooner, for sure.
Rajni, I don't want to put you in a spot. Feel free to say no. And you said you're very comfortable saying no. But would you like by ending with a song for us?
I mean, I want to say yes, but my voice is not in the best shape, but
maybe just like one line.
Okay. So what kind of songs do you enjoy?
Something that comes from your heart. I want to hear you in your truth.
So I'll sing you something which everyone knows.
Yeah.
My tea's gone cold, I'm wondering why. Got out of bed at all. The morning rain clouds up my window, and I can't see it all. And even if I could, it'll all be great. Put your picture on my wall. It reminds me that it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Rajni. I've really enjoyed getting to know you. I think what I would take away from our conversation is even while eventually landing at Choices, it's not guaranteed that the ride's going to be smooth. However, it's still worth owning it.
I think more importantly, own your choices. It's okay. I mean, even if you go wrong along the way, these are things you discover about yourself eventually. It's not something which is written in stone. I never went into music knowing what I wanted to do. It was something that I just did. And I discovered along the way, hey, this is working for me and this is not working for me.
It's the journey.
Exactly. So whenever I get stumped when people ask me this question all the time, what should I do now? Now that I'm here and I want to take up music, I want to do something like you did. But the thing is, it's your journey. I can tell you what I did, but I'm pretty sure the circumstances were different 5 years or 6 years ago. So right now, if I were to give you that advice, I think I would be doing you a disservice.
Because so much has changed. And
so again, I would be the last person advising people on these matters. It is something that you will only understand when you take the plunge.
Thanks so much, Rajni. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Sandhya. Thank you.
Thank you, and more power to you.
Hope to see you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on Owning It. With every conversation with women who are taking control of their narrative, I'm constantly inspired. Don't forget to tune into the next conversation with yet another woman choosing her own path and owning it.